Before we started the lecture today, they were over 4:35, 4:36. They were at 4. Before we started, at 4:36, 4:37. Okay. Okay. The group at the end of the lecture, they went up over 4 points, 5 points, 6 points, 7 points, 8 points, 7 points. The group went up today 7 points, 8 points, 7 points. 7 points. The average lifetime is 5 points, so you went up over one lifetime just in the day today. It isn't, you know, it isn't just a calibrated level, you see, because we're looking at a certain fallacy of logic, see? It would seem like moving from a certain point to a certain point, we're superimposing an artificiality, see? To eliminate through a subtle understanding a source of something that's been painful all your life, the payoff is enormous. And is that what I'm saying? Even the most subtle shift of awareness about something, now it no longer has the power to injure you or harm you or aggravate you or make you think about suicide. Now it's a joke. The difference between tragedy and a joke makes all the difference in the world. All right, so recontextualizing things may only calibrate numerically at a certain time, but those are germinal ideas. Those are germinal ideas. So one germinal idea may only calibrate, you know, change your calibration one point, but then because it's been planted, now it's going to transform of its own nature because your intention is superimposed upon it. So your intention will be more important than whether you went up a few points or something like that. What you do with it, how you valuable it, and where it grows from there. So these things become germinated, and then you all have had the experience. You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you get a complete understanding of something you've heard for years, and suddenly you get it. You know, that's a joyful moment. It's like whatever was blocking that awareness is removed now. Certain spiritual information is in and of itself transformational. Okay, let's see that. Certain seminal information, I mean, certain critical information is in and of itself transformational resistance. Some of what was said today is transformational resistance. Okay. So, in other words, all we did, we saw how it shifted the blocks, but then that's going to continue and bring a cascade. So that's a lot to assimilate. It can also be upsetting to try to assimilate too much too fast. In a way, you have to like grow with it and let it sort of settle, and then you're ready to move on to the next point, and then you're ready to move on to the next point. If you jerk somebody right out of one of these patterns here and throw them into another one, it can be very disruptive, very disruptive. So, okay, so each person grows then at the rate of their own capacity, their own intention, their own readiness, their own karmic rightness. And each of us evolves at a specific rate. And you don't know what that rate is because, as we said, the present has already been determined by the future. That's a comfortable thought, isn't it? Everybody here is being pulled by that star, the infinite power of enlightenment. That's a fact. This entire audience is being pulled here because they're destined for enlightenment. Isn't that amazing? That's annoyingness that I never checked it with calibration. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to be here. How to be a glider pilot, unless you're going to fly gliders, you wouldn't be learning on how to be a glider pilot, would you? And the spiritual work is quite strenuous. It's quite difficult at times. It's very uplifting. The overall context is uplifting. But then what that pulls up into the direct focus of your awareness can be sometimes painful and difficult and bring up temporarily guilt and negative feelings. Don't forget that our consciousness evolved over the ages, over the eons. Came up through, as far as we can trace it, up through the animal world, the reptilian world, on up through the mammalian. And what you pull up out of the unconscious then, you can spot where its origin was back in time and stop beating yourself up with guilt. Jealousy arose long before you hit this planet. You can watch any monkey colony, and that's you'll see jealousy right and left. This is mine, this is mine. Fighting for the alpha male position, the alpha female position, joining up in groups, this group, us against them. Once you see its origin, then you stop attacking yourself. It's not personal. It's part of the one's karmic inheritance as a human being, is to inherit that configuration of instinctual reflexes that we call ego, but they're really animal instincts. Everything about the ego you can spot in the animal kingdom, and you can see where it arose, with the exception of quantum mechanics, which did not arise in the animal kingdom. Now, we beat them out there, didn't we? Take that, monkeys and zebras. And we had fun calibrating various animals and zebras and kangaroos, and it's a lot of fun to calibrate the energy field of all these animals. And what was the one we did with the long necks? Giraffes. Didn't we say giraffes were 170? Giraffes were 170, 175. Giraffes are 170. Isn't that interesting? That's higher than a lot of people on the planet, isn't it? You're better off being a giraffe. I mean, you wander around there and you eat from the trees and you mind your own business. And a giraffe doesn't give you a problem unless you start attacking them. And if you attack a giraffe, he'll give you a whop with his hoof and send you flying. So that's a pretty good, nice way to be. You just wander around eating from the trees and you don't bother anybody unless they try to, unless a lion has a hard time with a giraffe, because the giraffe's really going to get annoyed by a lion, so. But it's interesting just to calibrate different groups of animals, because you're seeing and you begin to recognize in yourself where that all came from. Within you is the happy vegetarian who just liked to munch from the trees and not be bothered with people. In you is also the tiger. You push me far enough and and you're going to pull out my claws. So you see the origin of all that. And seeing the origin of it then removes it from a personal identification. You realize it's the source of the consciousness, which you now call me, but its origin, you did not devise that. Lions were around. Saber-tooth tiger was around before you got here. Yeah.
Do we have spiritual buddies that we had to hang out with?
What does everybody think about that? Everybody thinks so? We all got spiritual pals we've been hanging out with probably for lifetimes. And let's see, we'll ask. We got people with whom we're spiritually aligned for lifetimes with it. Simpatico, buddies like friends. We're all in the boat together kind of thing. Yeah. We're all in the boat together. Yeah, and quite a few of us are here right now. Yeah, we're hanging out together. I mean, let's see. A lot of us are hanging out together here. Over 50%, 60%, 70%, 75%. Almost three quarters of us have been hanging out together for really quite a long time. That's an expression of our love for each other. You see, the love for each other creates the field, and then we're attracted to reincarnate in that field. Because in a way, we're sort of evolving with the field. You know what I'm saying?
Question always comes up about soulmates in relationships, marriages, whatever.
I don't know really what that means, a soulmate. I don't know if it's a legitimate question or a romantic fantasy. I don't know what soulmate merely means. Well, there can be a commitment between two people that transcends reincarnation through this. Can extend over many lifetimes. Yeah, there can be a commitment between people that extends over many lifetimes. And often when you run into them again in this lifetime, you feel a state of great joy, you know. You feel a flash, like recognition. Not conscious, it just comes up of its own, like a feeling of joy, just a spontaneous feeling of joy, of mutual recognition, yeah. Yeah, right? Right.